Dear Father in heaven, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We worship you, Lord, thy kingdom come, Lord. Father, that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are looking for that time when the kingdoms of this world shall be called the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And we thank you for your unfailing promise. And he said to the saints, say the saints of the kingdom, we shall take the kingdom. We shall rule with him with a rod of iron this one. The Bible tells us so. We shall judge angels, the fallen angels. We will judge the world. Father, we thank you. We worship you. The suffering of the present time cannot be compared with the glory to be revealed in us. That's why we are joyful all the time by his grace. So thank you this morning as we read your word this morning. We just depend upon you for everything. You are the author of it all. And we are trusting you that you still speak to us. And you know that you did on the way to email us. Even so, do for us this morning. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And we pray that whatever we read here be mixed together with faith, that it may profit us in the days to come. Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning, diligence and the reward of it. Diligence. Proverbs 22:29. Say thou a man diligence in his business, he shall stand before kings, sir. He shall not stand before me, man. Before I really continue to speak on diligence and the reward, let me speak a little bit about the opposite of that, which is called slothfulness. The Lord, God's word, discourages slothfulness. We're talking on spiritual plane and physical plane. And that's what a Christian is, right? So we are living in two worlds. We are living in a spiritual world and a material world. And they all matter to God. So the Bible addresses both of them. So our profession, we are professionals. You have your physical profession. Maybe you are a doctor. Maybe you are an engineer or whatever. But we are also professors of God's word, innit? That's our real profession, as children of God. Praise the Lord. Our first profession is the word of God. We are professors of the word, of God. So let's get away the negative out of the way, which is slothfulness. Romans 12:11. Not slothful in business. No, it takes in spiritual and material. This kind of this morning and so on, that you know, and God's word is that way. And it was addressing spiritual things. They are not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's what the Lord wanted, you know. We don't want to be lukewarm. No, you know. And you know, so anyway, so we are to that one. Now, he said the hand, I think I must have missed a chapter in Proverbs here, but in the book of Proverbs, it says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. I put it in the book of Proverbs. Say the hand of the diligent shall bear rule. Be a ruler. We to rule with God, right? We to rule the world. We to judge the world and so on. You have to be diligent. So even learning from here, the Bible says those who go to the rapture, they are called the first fruit, right? They learn their lesson first. That's why they are the first fruit, right? They learn their lesson ahead of the other. Other will learn it in the great tribulation, you know. But the first fruit, they are first because they learn their lesson here first. So they were ready for the coming of the Lord. As the Holy Spirit will lead, we go into different directions this morning as he leads and so on like that, you know. Anyway, so the hand of the diligent shall bear rule. They will be rulers. But the slothful shall be under tribute. Meaning that, you know, a tribute, they put a body on you and will be paying tribute to somebody and so on like that, you know. 27th verse. No. The slothful man roasted not that which he took in hunting. He was a hunter, but he became slothful, right? You know, he couldn't roast what he has hunted. He couldn't roast because of slothfulness and so on like that, you know. But the substance of a diligent man is precious. Praise the Lord. That's what we want to really be. Proverbs 26 verse 12. They know God writing through the wisest man of his time. Solomon and so on like that, you know. You know his story and things like that, you know. All scripture we know about the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We know that. Anyway, God, you the wisest man of his time to write this thing to us in this thing. Proverbs 26:12. Say thou a man wise in his own conceit, there is more hope of a fool than of him. Conceit means, I mean, self-pride. You know, he just wants his own way of thinking. He exalts himself more than necessary that he can think. Don't even think of yourself. Let other praise you. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Anyway, verse 13 says, the slothful man says, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the street. All kind of excuses to get things done, right? You know, and Satan will think that we get involved with the flesh, right? Oh, a lion is in the way. That, you know, I mean, don't be like that and something like that, you know. So, you know, be bold as a lion. Bible says, even told us in the book of Peter and something like that, you know, he said that your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, right? You know, he walketh about, seeking whom he might devour. Whom he sees steadfast in the face, he will get a child of God into this condition of slothfulness. See, something like that, you know. He puts your fear in your hair. I can't do it because of that word. I can't do that word. No. Excuses and so on. So that we get together with the flesh and put the child of God in that condition. Slothfulness and so on. Lion is in the way. All kind of excuses to get things done. No, hold on. Anyway, let's move on because, you know, this is the word of the living God. Now, anyway, so, and I think that part is so important. It came up also in another no scripture here this morning that I'm going to read and so on, and that, you know. Anyway, and verse 14. As he does turneth upon his inches, so does the slothful upon his bed. You see that? The slothful and so on, and that, you know. God rebukes slothfulness in all of his attributes, spiritually and physically, you know. And now, verse 15. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. 16. The sluggard, meaning the lazy, is wiser in his own conceit. Here we go again. Excessive pride in oneself. That's what conceit means, right? The sluggard or the lazy person is wiser. Don't take a correction. Wiser is own conceit, meaning excessive pride in oneself, than seven men that can render a reason. Proverbs 15:19. The way of the slothful man is an edge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. Proverbs 18:9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. God's word. Even God in our work and so on. Know how he began? Said that a man diligent in his business. You see that one? You know, so one of the diligence in our business and so on, that is the will of God. Anyway, and the edge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. Proverbs 18:9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Proverbs 19:24. A slothful man hideth his heart in his bosom. It's the second time he's saying that, he's just repeating himself right there. And will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Proverbs 21:25. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Proverbs 22:13. The slothful man says, you see, he says again, why is it God repeating something? You know, last Sunday I was talking about something about, how we were talking about the book of Daniel and so on like that, you know, last Sunday and everything like that, you know. So how God became to, how history was portrayed, you know, ahead of time. And we went verse by verse and see how we purport history. How in Daniel chapter 11, the first half of it, you know, what we went through history one by one and see how they were fulfilled, right? You know, God's word is true and so on like that, you know. And we see why God repeats certain things certain times. You know, like in the days of Joseph, and Pharaoh has two dreams, right? And one, the dream, and the prophet, we're going to talk about him in Joseph and so on, say the two dreams are one, right? Because the thing is true, God dubbed it on you, Pharaoh. So this writer, by the divine inspiration, in two chapters, he was saying the same thing, so that God's children will get it and not miss it. Praise the Lord. That's why he repeats things and so on. Anyway, so he said it again, 22nd. Chapter of Proverbs 13, the slothful man says, there is a lion without, and I shall be slain in the streets. You know, he modifies a little bit, but the same thing. I shall be slain. So he just keep him there and just follow it. 10:4 of Proverbs. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard, meaning the lazy, the silent, and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent. But the soul of the diligent shall be fat. Anyway, let's get the negative out of the way. Talking about diligence, right? And God called for diligence. Say that a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before me men. So let's get the negative out of the way and talk about diligence. Let's see some of the people in the Bible. Joseph in the house of Potiphar is Egyptian master. I want to see diligence at work and so on that, you know. Probably reading many Bible verses as illustration. I don't see a better way to illustrate anything but by the word of God. Now, Genesis 39, you want to know the story of Joseph, right? I can't go out to know what's going to let's see his experience here and so on. But why? And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. That's what counts most, right? See? And the Lord said, I'm with you always. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So the end of the world, praise the Lord. What confidence we should have as God. They'll put always for you and I. Always to the end of the age. I want to be confident and so on to do anything. Anyway, and and the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. Some people, Christians, they shy prosperity, right? When God says, I wish above all things that I may prosper and be in health, right? Anyway, what's my subject? A prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the law, even the Egyptian saw it, amen? His master saw that the law was with him, and that the law made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Even his master saw it. Of course, an Egyptian master, captain of his guard, of the Pharaoh, he couldn't see it, you know? Let your light so shine, amen? That men may sit and glorify your heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. That one, even in the Old Testament, is there. It's the same God, the same eternal God. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Christ of the New. Praise the Lord Jesus. Whose going was from everlasting to everlasting. He has no beginning of day nor the ending of life. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. He is the King of kings and the God of, you know, Lord of lords and so on. Anyway, and verse 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight. And he served him. See? Look at diligence. He served him. And he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand of a diligent person, right? You know? Say that a man diligent, you know? Over all he had, you know? Every stage of his life. I'm going to go a little bit, you know, in all the phases this morning. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Do you know what God is doing in your business? In your place of work, who you are working for? Oh, blessed because you are there, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Absolutely, yes. He doesn't change. I'm the Lord that changes not, right? Doesn't change. Right? Hebrews 13, he says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi says, I'm the Lord, and I change it not. Praise the Lord. Doing the same thing for you in your business, in your work, and so on, that, you know. So he was blessing the house of this man because of, for Joseph's sake. He said, for Joseph's sake. So he was blessing this man's house, and so on, you know. So anyway, it was, and the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all, he had. Save the bread which he did eat. And look at this one. And Joseph was a goodly person, and well favored, because the Lord was with him and so forth, you know. Anyway, so now, you know what happened to him there, which I won't go through that one. You know how the wife of that master, with every step of you, that be temptation, right? The word God is with you and so on. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So with the temptation out of the way, but diligence we put you above temptation too. Praise the Lord. Amen. Diligence in keeping the word of the law and seeking the law, we put you above temptation and you're going to be blessed. And as he was blessed here, not wanting what the wife or the man had did to him, what the next was put in prison. Verse 20 of Genesis 29. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, you know, for doing nothing wrong, right? For being righteous, you know, for being diligent in, you know, in fearing the Lord. How can I do this to my master? If this my master holds nothing away from me, except you, his wife, how can I do this? He called it evil, right? You know, can I do this evil? Couldn't do it, you know. Diligence in fearing the Lord. That is great to the world. Persecution may come. Satan may press up against you. You stand right there in your diligence, amen? That is going to be a great reward. Praise the Lord. And, where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. 21. But the Lord was with Joseph all the time, right? And showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Like everywhere he went, he's going to get favor and so on. Stand right there where you are with the Lord. Suffer for, Bible says, if you are suffering for doing good, don't even be mindful of it, amen? But don't suffer for evil doing though. You know, don't be caught as a thief or anything like that. But if you are suffering because of the righteousness, happy are you, amen? And God will bring you out. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord deliver them from them all. Praise the Lord. So where is the faith also will rejoice there? So it was within. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the dweller of it. He was the master. He that did nothing was the one encouraging those who were offenders. Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. He was the one that didn't do anything. You know, like the thief on the cross and so on. Say, look, you know, let's go there and so on. He was the one encouraging others. He didn't do anything wrong. Anyway. So anyway, 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Praise the Lord. You are children of prosperity, amen? Amen. Being the child of God, right? We are being children of God. We are children of prosperity. That's who we are, you know? And so we see. Now, let's see another phase of Joseph's life, talking about diligence, right? Even in the prison, he was diligent, son of encouragement, right? Praise the Lord. Even in the midst of adversity, he was able to encourage others. Son of encouragement. That's what God, you and I to be all the time in every situation possible. Now, Genesis 41, verse 41. And here you go, of course. You know the dream that there are two dreams and so forth. I'm not going to that one, but eventually, you know, Pharaoh himself had a dream, right? That Joseph interpreted, like I was saying before. Let's see, verse 41 of Genesis 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. You know, and Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vessels of fine linen, and put a gold chain upon his neck. No reward of diligence, right? And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee, meaning Joseph, shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Saphnapani, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. And Joseph went out all the land of Egypt. And verse 46 says, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. From what he says, see thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings, and not before me, many men.
Look at what he passed through. Many times you are going to pass through many things to get there, but God will get you there, amen? Mm-hmm. If you just stand with the Lord, praise the Lord. He didn't complain, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. He stand right there. God brought him out. No, let God be your rewarder. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Psalm 81 tells it all. In the Bible, we say he went to a land where he understood not their language and so on. His feet was in stalks of iron. Psalm 81 says so. You know, when everybody's in there, you really have to read this properly and all that, you know. And later on, the Lord delivered his arms from the paw and removed his shoulder from the body. Amen. Mm-hmm. Standing before his king because he was diligent. The body was diligent. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Now, diligence in Isaac. Let's pick one or two characters in the Bible to see what diligence means. And you know, and the reward of it and so on. Genesis 26 verse 1. And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went into Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down to Egypt as your father did. Don't do that now. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee all. You know what his father did without me going there and say he got into trouble, but God still blessed him out of it. I will talk a little bit about that down the road if I have some time. And there were six. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, the 12th verse. Then Isaac sowed in that land during famine, right? Praise the Lord. That's right. And Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him, the Bible says, and 13th verse says, and the man waxed great, and went forward, and grew until he became very great. What is sentence? See? And, verse 14, for he had a possession of flocks, and possession of herds, and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Even in Christianity, some we have heard it before. Oh, they will settle so and so. They think they are rich, you know. They don't know what that person has passed through, right? You know, they don't know what they have passed through before. You know, you read the same Bible and so on, right? So and so, they are rich. They think they are rich, you know, and something like that, you know. Look at this man. If you read that verse alone, let's see what he went through and so on to get there. Praise the Lord. Let's see a little bit of what this man went through to get there. Where he came to a place where he had possession of flocks and and possession of herd and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Verse 15, for of all, now watch now what he went through, for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with air. See what he went through, you know, and something like that, you know. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art a much mightier than we. And then, of course, and Isaac departed. No argument, you know, praise God. He was so, what a wonderful character and so on. As gentle can be. He just left and so on, that, you know. And Isaac, Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the well of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. The Bible said so. Look at this man, how diligent he was. Verse 19 says, and the Isaac's servants dig in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And they are thieves. No, sister is a thief and a robber, right? The thief cometh not to steal, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy, right? It's a thief. Bible says, he's a liar and father of lies. He lied from the beginning. You know, these are his children. They were liars. Anyway, the water is ours, they said. And called the name of the well Isaac, because they strove with him. Bible says the servant of the servant of God does not strive. Amen. Praise the Lord. New Testament verse, right? The servant of the Lord does not strive. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so at 21,
And they dig another well. You see, just keep on going. And they dig another well. You know? You see what they went through? You know, and so that, you know? Another well. And a straw for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. 21. And he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord has made room for us. And we shall be fruitful in the land, amen. Satan will come to his end, amen. Praise God. Just give me, he will come to his end. And nobody is helping me. The attacker will come to his end. Bible says, book of Daniel, no man shall help him, amen. So in your life, you answer under that, you know. So God will send you reinforcements, amen. Praise the Lord. Don't worry about how it's pressing against you today. Don't look at that. Look at the bigger picture, you know, of God's word, amen. Praise the Lord. Satan will run to his end and so forth, and none shall help him. He thought he could stop Daniel from getting the revelation of God, right? Not really. He may have to stay the 21 days. Nothing matter. Praise the Lord. Satan ran out of resources. God sent reinforcement. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, and the Lord appeared unto him, 24, unto him the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not. For I am with thee, the same thing is telling you today, all over the Bible. I will bless thee. Don't fear anything. I don't care what you are going through right now. You know, don't fear. No, I will bless thee. And multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake and so on. Oh, you say that is Isaac. What about you and I? The Bible says in Galatians 3:13, that Christ has redeemed us for the cause of the law, right? Being made a cause for us. That the blessing of Abraham, amen, praise the Lord, might come unto you and I through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only Isaac, this Bible is a love letter to you at the letter of God, amen. Praise the Lord. It is a love letter. There is now no condemnation to you and I. Just go and eat as much you want to eat of all the blessings in this book, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. It's all yours. And so on that, you know. And, so he said that one to him. And, he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there, I see servants dig a well. They keep on digging, right? They dig a well. Then Abimelech, now watch what happened here. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar. That same king, right? Who drove him away, right? You know, then Abimelech went to him. He now came to Isaac, from Gerar. And Ahuza, one of his friends, and Pekah, the chief captain of his army, and something like that, And Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye unto me, seeing ye hate me, you see? And have sent me away from you. Why do you come to me, see? And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath between us, even between us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou will do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee. Nothing but good, see, the line. And I have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. See, they recognize, like Joseph, they recognize and something that, his grandson, talked about before. Anyway, and he made them a feast. He still accepted them, right? He forgave them, amen? Praise the Lord. You see? No, he make a luncheon for them and so on and that, He accepted them. I said their apology. They know they were wrong. They see the glory of the Lord. He forgave them and made a feast. And they did eat and drink. And they rose all bedtime in the morning, early in the morning, means, and swear one to another, and Isaac sent them away. And they departed from him in peace. That is the converse. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of that city is Beersheba unto this day. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. He said, I am a man diligent in his business. He shall stand before king. That king came to him. Gerar came to him. And not before me, men and so on. And Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord,
He will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. Those who envy the king came to him. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. How wonderful to be peaceful. He was a man of peace, you know, because he feared the Lord. Nothing was written against him we know of in the Bible at all. Concerning Isaac and so on that, you know. Not one thing was written against Joseph either and so on. You know what? You'll be digging for long, right? Keep on digging, my brother and sister. Amen.
Amen.
You will strike oil in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If you do not give up, you will strike oil, you know. Lunch, oh, we fish all night, Lord, and caught nothing. But at thy word, amen, this morning keep on digging. You will strike oil. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Now, diligence in Jacob. You see? 31 of Genesis 3. Diligence in Jacob and so on. And the Lord said unto Jacob, you know his story too? One who was a common adventurer, right? You know, he stole the birthright from his brother, Esau. And not only that, no, anything that he didn't know. And the particular blessing, stole it. And he ran away from home because Esau was, you know, going to do anything to him to destroy him and so on, that, you know. Anyway, you know how he went to, you know, to his brother, to his uncle, you know, and so on, that, you know. His mother's, brother and so on. Now the time has come. Let's see what he went through. Diligence. We're talking about diligence, right? And the reward of it. We saw it in Joseph. We saw it in Isaac. Was it in Jacob? Of course, you know. And, and the Lord said unto Jacob, when he was in that father, return unto the land of thy fathers, and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. 36 verse. I'm going to skip a lot of verses here. And Jacob, of course, you know, when the Lord told him, he began to pack his things and things like that. I skipped many verses in there. And of course, Laban now, you know, went after him and so on that, you know, trying to take a revenge or stop him from going and so on that, you know. And Jacob was wroth when eventually God told Laban, don't hurt that man, don't touch not my anointed, amen, and do my prophet no harm, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. I mean, in so many words, he didn't say that to him, but he warned Laban, don't touch that man, in so many words, right? And the Bible says, touch not my anointed. And do my prophets no harm. You know, God already told him, don't do him any harm. So he overtook them, meaning Jacob and his caravan, you know, and he overtook them and so on. God already warned him, don't do anything to him. Anyway, now, Jacob began to now expose what he went through, you know. He told us in a nutshell here what he went through, patience, diligence, right? Now, and Jacob was wroth and showed with Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued? I mean, what is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? And these 20 years, see what he went through, 20 years, right? You know, this diligence, right? These 20 years have I been with thee. That is, and the she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy floor have I not eaten. I didn't take anything from you. 39th verse. That which was torn of beast, I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand, desire require it. Whether stolen by day or even stolen by night, I did report it to you. I pay out my pocket, right? Praise the Lord, he went through, right? Diligence, right? Diligence, and so on, so that you know. Anyway, 48th verse. Thus I was, in the day, the drought consumed me, in the heat of the desert, right? Consumed me. And the frost by night. And my sleep departed from my eyes. You see, what he went through and so on like that, you know. When he was going home with two bands, we think, you know, oh, but look at what he went through and so on, telling us these things here. Anyway, thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters and 6 years for thy cattle. And thou hast changed my wages 10 times. I tell you, they were decreases, right? 10 times he changed his wages and so forth. You see, diligence and so on. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac have been with me. Surely, thou hast sent me away now empty
But look at it. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked the, yesterday. So, God showed to him, God rebuked Laban yesterday and so on. So we see right there, So, like I said, God has seen his affliction. So we see what he went through, diligence and so forth, and see how God blessed him. The reward of diligence, So we see it in Isaac, see it in Joseph, we see it in Isaac. God is telling us a story here, giving us example and so on, and so on that. So we see that there. So we see the Lord, and so he talks to the Lord in the end, and the Lord blessed him and so forth. Now, let me move a little bit forward here. Prayer was business with Daniel, He was a man of prayer. I'm telling you, both spiritual and temporal, So don't be thoughtful in business now, whether it is spiritual or temporal and so on. Let me kind of paraphrase Daniel's situation. We can take about two or three segments of his story here in Daniel 2, verse 13. And the decree went forth that the wise men, the story, should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. See, talking about diligence, right? I'm going to stand before kings, right? Say that a man diligent. In this case, in spiritual diligence, and so on. He did both. This man did both. And we notice that all these men, not only because they are diligent in spiritual things, but even in material things. Now, anyway, so then verse 14 of Daniel 2. Daniel chapter 2. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard. They may be Bible stories, but they pack tons of knowledge. And the Bible says the things which are written are four times. They were written for our example and for our admonition, that we, through the scriptures, may have hope. We are told. So that's why we are reading the scriptures. And so that's which was gone for to slay the wise men of Babylon. Verse 15. And he answered and said to Arioch the king's captain, why is his decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch make the thing known to Daniel. In fact, God gave him favor before that man, really. Verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king. He was so bold, that is holy boldness, right? Holy boldness. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king. He was a monarch. Like Esther of old, although that woman a little bit facilitated to go before the king where he wasn't invited. But Daniel here, he was as good as the lion, right? And at the time of the king that he will give him time and that he will show the king the interpretation. He was so confident in the Lord, amen. Now Bible says we should come boldly, right? Now anyway, then Daniel went to his house, and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. What diligence, right? They didn't just give up and be like the magicians of Babylon. We serve the living God. Praise the Lord. That answer their prayer. No matter that with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. With God, all things are possible. The forgotten dream, God is able to bring it back to them. Praise the Lord. And they went into prayer. They went into a night vigil. Praise the Lord. Diligence, we bring reward and so on that, including saving one's life from the hand of the enemy. And when you do that, you save the life of those magicians too. Amen? Praise the Lord. Anyway, so we see that there. Concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest men of Babylon and so on. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Verse 48 says, then the king made Daniel a great man. See that a man diligent in his business. It could be spiritual business. We are involved in that. See that a man diligent in his business. There are magicians in there. And the Chaldeans were there and so on, and the sorcerers, and they couldn't do nothing, but he knew his God. He was a man who took prayer as a business, right? He was diligent and so on. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. and and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon, the man who was going to be to be slain, right? But he knew God. He knew that God is good as far as that, and he saw the law and look at what came about it and stuff like that, Now verse 49 says, then Daniel requested of the king, he didn't forget his companion, his prayer partners, he didn't forget them, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Now watch this. But Daniel sat in the gates of the king. That know their God and so on. The Bible says, said that a man diligent in his business, they will stand before kings. Amen. Daniel stand daily at the kings, and king rise and fall in Babylon. Daniel was always in there. He was a consultant to all of them. Down to the Darius and so on. So example of diligence and the great reward. Yeah, we see that we try to go with it. His story and so on about, Not to skip some of this for time, but you can go on for many examples, of diligence, in the Bible and so on about, Anyway, let me see here. Now, let me see another insight of Daniel's life. In Daniel chapter 6, it speaks that Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. See, diligent people, when you are diligent, you are going to stand before kings, right? Like I was saying. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes, yeah, that's right, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage, the Bible said. Then this Daniel was preferred above all the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the president and so on, so find an occasion against Daniel, and let me paraphrase for you and so on. We know the story very well. How are we going to get him? They can't do anything corrupt while Daniel was there, right? They can't practice anything against the government. They can't see while Daniel was the head of all of them. They can't do anything, no corruption can happen under Daniel's vision. How are we going to get him? Only concerning his God. He's a man of prayer, diligent in prayer, right? How do we find it against his God? Oh, then we know what to do. Get him. Let us make the king sign a decree that no man should ask anything of any God for 30 days, right? Except through the king or whatever it was and so forth. So they think they got him there, They think they got him and so forth. But Daniel, of course, being diligent and so on and that, Bible says three times a day, he would open his window towards Jerusalem. Even if he would close his window or hide it, he wasn't doing anything wrong. And he would open his window towards Jerusalem, and three times a day he would pray. I guess he has read the prayer of Solomon before, when he was opening the temple. Oh Lord, when your children are in a foreign land or in captivity, and they will set their face toward this temple, and they will ask you of anything they are going to ask, answer them, oh Lord. So they won't pray, after that. Maybe you know that scripture, I believe he did. Anyway, you know what happened in there, and eventually, the Lord, the king, was Daniel's friend, And sometimes we start to set your friends against you, right? Anyway, and lion's dead, they sent Daniel so and so and that, But we know the story, the Lord was with him. Shut the mouth of the lion and so on. And they couldn't hurt him at all. Let the people who are cursed, who are against the Bible and so on. Oh, the lions were not hungry. Who told you that? Now, when the Lord delivered him there, all those men, the king, they put them there. Bible says the lion have mastery of them. Amen? Praise the Lord. They broke their bones. They put their children there and all their family. He broke their bones and the lion have mastery of them. But the diligent man of prayer, what happened to him and so forth? Verse 28. And so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. See? Said that a man, diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings and shall not stand before me, man. Now, we know one more thing about Daniel, one more that I want to read. After the vision of the ram and the eagles in Daniel chapter 8, what happened was a man of, let me read verse 27 to you, of Daniel 8. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick 13 days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business. Was a spiritual man, and of course, he wasn't slaughtered in the king's business. Praise the Lord. He did both of them. Praise the Lord Jesus. God wants you to do your business, to be the best in your business. Or everything you do, God wants you to be the best. Amen? That shall be above only. The Bible says, that shall not be beneath. Amen? Praise the Lord. That is the will of God and so on that, you know. Anyway, so we see that there, you know. So anyway, diligence and so on that, you know. He loved the Lord. Now, let's quickly begin to wrap this up and so forth. But, you know, of course, you can preach this forever. The Lord Jesus himself, there's no greater business, man or whatever, but the Lord himself. You know, in Luke 2, verse 41. Now his parents, according to his parents, went to Jerusalem every year. I'm going to show this one. And at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, he went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And you know the story right there. At the end of it, they left Jerusalem and they were going back. The 12-year-old God boy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Now he was God, Emmanuel, God with us. Praise the Lord. Yeah. He was so humble and so humble, can be so humble. He said, learn of me. I'm mean and I'm lowly in heart. I will find rest for your soul. Amen. My yoke is easy and my body is light. That will make it to be so difficult. No. My eyes say the way the Lord said, my yoke is easy and my body is light. If you follow his steps, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we see him right there, you know, so they have gone three days on the way, and before they find out, the God boy is not here, and then they call him God. Anyway, and so they now have to go back to Jesus, go and look for him. Look where they found him, in verse 48. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I sought thee sorrowing. Mary, you forgot how he came. The Holy Ghost will overshadow you, and the power of the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. That's how he came. Praise the Lord. Amen. What part are you talking about? You know, praise the Lord. He never called him mother for a single time. Woman in John chapter 2, when they ran out of water in the marriage of Galilee, Mary went to go out. He went to talk to her. Woman, he called her mother. My time is not, and so on that, you know. And even at the cross, you know, and so on that, you know, he took John the beloved. Look at your mother, and mother, look at your son, amen? Mm-hmm. Woman, and so I call him woman, and so on that, you know. So we know that one. Why? We know in Genesis 3:15, the first prophet, he said that the seed of the woman, right? That's right, the seed of the woman. So he called her what the Bible says she is. So now the word of God is corrective in verse 49. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? Amen? I am coming. My father, Joseph wasn't his father. Even we said how many days, about 4 weeks ago, we traced it down. You know, and so on. He was even him. Anyway, we did that one alone. His father's business. He is business minded. You know, I say, I come to do the father, the work of him that sends me. And I must finish his work. Amen? It was business like in all of his things. Praise the Lord. No better business than the Lord himself. Anyway, so we see that there. Now, Proverbs 21 verse 5. The thought of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. Amen? See, Bible says, I'm talking about the reward of diligence, right? It says the thought of the diligent person tend only to plenteousness. Not to be dangerous. That shall be above only. That shall be plenteous in goods. He told us another place and so on and that, you know. So a diligent man, what happens to that person? Their thought is always toward plenteousness. But everyone that is hasty only to one, you see. So diligence and so on and that, you know. 27th of Proverbs, 23 verse. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flock. Take care of what God has given to you, amen. Take care of your business. Be diligent. And so now, so see that a man diligent in his business, he stands before being men, stands before kings, So here I tell you what you have. Be thou diligent to know the stock of thy flock, and look well to thy heart. If you are a cattle yada, whatever you are doing in your life or living and so on, take care of them. After all, for riches are not forever. And that's a question. And does the crown endure to every generation? What God has given to you, take care of it, amen? Praise to the Lord Jesus. And it may last you know, and so that, you know. So God is in that, you know. I can just shorten this one here. Now, let's see. Hebrews 6:11. And we desire, now talking spiritual and material thing, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. So we don't, Bible says as we start strong with the Lord, we want to go stronger and stronger every day, amen, in the Lord. Praise the Lord. No backsliding and so on, that much more so in these last days and so on. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, brethren, amen. There will be more cast in the last day. Who will sit in the solar sled? All things have remained the same. Where is the hope of his coming and so on? Don't be like that and so on like that, Why don't do that and so on? Be diligent and so on like that, at the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promises. We read some of them this morning. The follower of them, who through faith, and patience inherit the promises. 2 Peter 1:5. Giving all diligence now, add to your faith virtue. I'm taking it going both physical, material, and then spiritual life. Now, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Read the word of God. Be absorbed in the word of God. People can be very slothful to things concerning the things of the law, and of course, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. We talked about charity about 2 weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago, and so on, love, and so on, and that, kindness and charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Amen?
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 Give diligence to make you have a calling in your life, right? He has called you. He called you. Give diligence to make this calling and your election elected you. I have chosen you. You haven't chosen me. Amen? Make this calling an election by all diligence. Sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Praise the Lord. Amen. He gave you a remedy. He gave a remedy for backsliding and falling away. He gave you right there the remedy for that and so on. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4, as I finish up here, verse 11. And that you study to be quiet and do your own business. And to walk with your own arms. See? God wants us to do all these things. And like you study to be quiet. And to do your own business. And to walk with your own arms. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without. And that ye may have lack of nothing. He says. Now, let me begin to finish up here like I'm saying here. And in Lamentations 3:27. He says, it is good that the timing to everything really, God bring a timing into fixture here. Lamentations 3:27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. You see, God is saying that again, so he says, good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. A time element enter into diligence right here. Where God can bless his children at any age. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's sure. For example, we saw in the case of Abraham, it wasn't until he was 75 years old that he had a breakthrough, if you want to, We know upon arrival to the land of Egypt, upon arrival to the promised land, what happened? He was greeted with a grievous famine. You can see that in Genesis 12:10, right? Don't forget, many of the time, when you are in the will of God, condition will make you look as if you are in the wrong path. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
But once you know you have heard the word of God, you stay right there with God. Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. God has left everything he had, right? And God said, go to the land, I'm going to show you, and so on. When he got there, the Bible called it a grievous famine. Met him there, and so on. But the flesh and blood too, Father Abraham and so forth, ran to Egypt. Went to Egypt and so forth, you know, to paraphrase what happened right there and so on like that, you know. And if not for God's mercy, he would have lost his wife to the king of Egypt and so on like that, you know. So anyway, but the Lord have mercy on him. I think God can bless his children at any age. So I'm putting Abraham as an example, working until he was 75 years old. And here what happened to him after his mistake in going to Egypt. And in verse 20 of Genesis, I believe 12, so somebody of what happened to him there. And Pharaoh, of course, actually took his wife and gave him all kind of things, you know, to him and so forth. But God not allowed him to go into that woman because he was his prophet, right? Anyway, and Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, verse 20 of Genesis 12. And they sent him away, and his wife, and all that Pharaoh has given him. You go and read what he gave him, a lot of things and so forth. Next thing we hear about Abraham, he can bless his children at any age. 75 years before God, and 13 chapter of Genesis verse 1. And Abraham went out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. Look at the next one. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver and gold. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He can bless his children at any age. So that's one example of Abraham, 75 years old. He had a great truth. Having said that, he had a special advice for the youth. But the Lord also has the same Lord who can bless at any age. That's a good advice for the youth. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. So it is good for the youth to listen to this counsel of the Lord, to bear the yoke in your youth. Now, Proverbs 6 says, there's a time element. God put a time element here to the young and so on like that, you know. So now, Proverbs 6 says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Then don't be lazy. God permits to rebuke his people and so on. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider our ways. You know the ant? You know, I saw them on the way to farm all the time here. And be wise. You know, look at nature. God put a lot of things in nature you can learn from them, right? So it's changing the ant. Yeah, you know, and so on, you know. Verse 7. Which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provided our meat in the summer. Time element, right? See? You know, it's talking to the youth and so on, that, you know. Time element here. You know, which provides our meat in the summer and gathered our food in the harvest. So he keeps on staying there and so on, begins to rebuke his people and so don't be sluggard and so on. And anyway, let me read it. How long without sleep, O sluggard, God discouraging his people from slothfulness and all that, you know. When will thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hand to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and I want her as an armed man. That is the direction that God doesn't want the people to go, right? So anyway, so God is encouraging his people and so on. Much more to say, bear your yoke and so on your body in your youth. Now, John 9:4. Even the Lord himself put time element into things. He was a great businessman ever lived. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Amen? Praise the Lord. That pervades the life. So what you can do today, don't put to tomorrow. See? You know, much if you are young, bear the yoke in your youth. You know, I'm telling you that, you know, yeah, God can bless at any age. Even the Lord said, the night cometh when no man can work. Now it's time to work and so on. Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything, there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to plant, verse 2,
and the time to pluck up that which is planted. There is time for planting and time for harvesting. In my asking from the farm, you know, around this time of the year, you know, the farms are planted, maybe they are trying to burn, already planted around November, October, our yams and everything, all things like that and so on and that, you know. So around November is the harvest and so on and that, you know. So we already planted and so on. You can't be, so you have to plant at the time you have to plant. At the time for planting, at the time for harvesting. So it goes even in the life of any person and so on and that, you know. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, so have a vision. At any time, you ask yourself, as you ask yourself, where am I going to be in 10 years from now, if you're not tired? Have a plan, have a vision, you know, for yourself and so on, that you know that not only the youth, everybody and so on. Even when you have a plan, you have to review this thing from time to time. Things change around, right? If you look at the Bible, say the children of this world, they are wiser than the children of the kingdom, you know. Look at the corporations, they will have certain certain projection of what they want to do, what they want to do in a couple of years to come, you know, and the budget for different things and so on, that, you know, how much more the children of God. We have to have a vision, you know, what I want to do in 1 year. Have a long, short term and long term, you know, and so on, that, you know. So have that vision. Not only that, we are told, Habakkuk says, that vision. Write it, make it play upon tables, in it, and run with the vision, in it. Praise the Lord. You have a vision, yes, and then write it upon the table and run with that vision. Don't let anything distract you. Don't be like that slothful man. Oh, that's a liar in the way. That's excuse. No, you have a vision, hold to it, and God will help you to accomplish it. You see, amen? You have to put a vision in place by the grace of God. And then believe God that any other thing in this world, amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. I'm finishing with this answer. So anyway, now Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy mind. Amen. God encourage us to do it with our mind. That business proposition that has been in your head for a long time. Don't let it drag for long. Come on, put it to action, asking the Lord to guide you, amen. Pray, I will guide you. Praise the Lord. Now, Philippians 4:13. Don't forget it now. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We all know that scripture, right? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So nothing shall be impossible unto you. You know, so you pray the vision to place and ask the Lord to guide you and so on. And then go into action. God will help you and so forth. Lastly, the last scripture here. You know, are you taking spiritual and material together here this morning? 2 Peter 3:10. Last scripture. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The heart also and the works that therein shall be burned up. Now verse 10, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation? And godliness. These are stumbling scriptures, right? When you read all this, you keep your mouth properly and don't just be talking anything, right? When you know the time we are living in, you know, as well as you know, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, God's children, right, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now verse 14, last verse. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. That's how Jesus said that a man diligent in his business. And business is God's kingdom, right? And plus whatever work he gives or has to do and so on, that you know. Says, be diligent that he may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Don't talk about the day of the Lord here. We know no God's children shall be here in the great day of the Lord, to paraphrase things and so on, that you know. The prophetic sequence is this. Right now, at the time junction, what is next in God's program for his church? How you see a great revival and so on, that you know. Then the rapture, the translation, the rapture of the first, not only the rapture of the first fruits. Then become the manifestation of the Antichrist and so on, that you know, the great tribulation and so forth. Then the great and the terrible day of the Lord. How do I say that? After the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, right? So the great day of the Lord is that darkening of the sun and so on, that you know. So that's the prophetic scripture. We are gone before this event here, but even then, Bible says we should be diligent that will be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say your word is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. And because you say we shall not walk in darkness, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we are walking in that, because we are in Christ and we have his word, then we're not walking in darkness. Dada, we are the light of the world. He said, inasmuch as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He said, when he left, that light is passed unto us. He is living in us. Now we are now the light of the world, Christ shining through us. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the time we have spent in your word this morning. So much has been said about different things. We see the reward of diligence. We are even told, the Bible says, the book of Hebrews is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Father, we thank you, Father. Let the Holy Spirit expand this scripture to our heart, in which, you know, in a different way you want it in our life this morning as we go this morning. And I be a great reward coming in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your thoughts towards us, Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give us an expected end. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we worship and we adore you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus, sir. Hallelujah. Praise God.